Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is John Kuzma from EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle show. We're going to talk about the Seattle Seahawks. Both of our topics are actually about the Seahawks today. We'll start with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson will report to the Seahawks offseason workouts, but many people believe he's ready to move on from the team. Wilson could be putting his career in jeopardy if he leaves Seattle. Having a great coach and a culture that is conducive for success is hard to come by. Pete Carroll has provided an environment that has allowed Russell Wilson to flourish, and that's why it would be foolish for Wilson to leave the Seahawks. There's been a lot of rumors that Wilson's wife, Sierra, wants to be in New York, which would be better for her career, but Wilson is the breadwinner in the family right now, so his job has to be the top priority. Whether it's Wilson's own desire to leave or his wife or his agent whispering in his ear that he could do better in New York, it doesn't matter. Those ambitions should be put on hold because nothing is going to beat what Russell Wilson has in Seattle. This is a franchise that always reloads and finds a way to be competitive. While the New York Giants are a dumpster fire and they've only won 8 games over the past 2 seasons, if Wilson doesn't play well on the field first and foremost, then the glamour and glitz won't follow. The whole reason he has this brand is because of Carroll. And let's not forget, even with his great coach, Wilson still threw an interception on the goal line in the Super Bowl, proving just how hard it is to win in the NFL, even when you have all of the help around you. That help won't be anywhere to be found in the Big Apple, and there's also so many distractions to overcome. Is this really what Wilson wants, or is he being tempted by Sierra and her wants and needs? All we know is it's a bold move to turn his back on the team that drafted him and made him who he is today. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side, but it rarely ends up being as good as it seems. So Russell Wilson is, for whatever reason, we've heard from multiple sources. Colin Cowherd talked about it. There's been rumors from people within that organization, and Tyrann Mathieu even said Russell Wilson wants to be in New York. And, you know, he set a deadline, Russell Wilson did, for the Seahawks, which is actually today. And even though the deadline came and they didn't get a new contract done, at least not yet, he's still going to report to camp. But it doesn't feel like he wants to be there. And to me, you know, Russell Wilson has always been that guy who goes a little bit overboard with even saying the right things and doing the right things to the point where it was beyond just being a good guy. It almost seemed rehearsed and it almost seemed robotic. And it got to the point where people started to actually not like Russell Wilson as much because it was almost like he was too political and it felt like he lacked authenticity. It's like, what's really going on behind the mask? You know, is he really a good guy or is he just selling us a brand so he can maximize his endorsements and things like that? Now, I don't want to say, you know, he's completely, you know, inauthentic or lacks authenticity because maybe he really is just this all-around good guy, family man, all that. And, you know, but, you know, this situation here, it kind of seems like ego. Like, you know, I'm bigger than the Seattle Seahawks now. I can do what I want. I made it. I've been carrying you guys for a while. But, you know, the Seahawks are a little bit like the Patriots in the fact that Pete Carroll always reloads. He always gives that team a chance to be competitive. He can get rid of Richard Sherman, Michael Bennett, Jimmy Graham, and somehow take this team to the playoffs. And there's no doubt that stability and, you know, all those young guys that are constantly improving from Carroll's coaching and his schemes and things like that helps Russell Wilson have success. And for him to just think, oh, I'm going to go to New York and be the same guy, I don't know if I buy that. Yeah, him and Saquon Barkley would be lethal. But, you know, For the past 2 years, they've averaged 4 wins a year. That's the New York Giants. Is Russell Wilson going to go in there and get them to 9? You know, not even 9. You got to be 10 wins minimum usually to get into the playoffs. I don't know if he can save that team single-handedly. And then, you know, when you're not winning and you're not, you know, doing the things that he's doing in Seattle, suddenly less people want to hear about you. And New York, out of all the places, if you don't win, they're going to crucify you. That's how the media works in New York. And before you know it, that momentum can turn against you. And I just think it's super bold. And I almost kind of feel like, you know, he's more arrogant than he's been leading us to believe. And it's shown at times. You could tell that, you know, when Richard Sherman was getting frustrated with him, it was because, you know, Richard Sherman felt like he was getting a little too Hollywood for everybody. And, you know, he did throw that interception on the goal line. For him to, you know, act like he came up, get with Sierra, and, you know, act like, you know, he is a power couple and all that. It's like, dude, you threw an interception on the goal line, and, you know, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady were in that situation, it wouldn't have mattered what the coaches said, because they would have had enough brains to audible, and they would have gave it back to Marshawn. But, you know, Russell Wilson, I feel like he wanted the spotlight. He wasn't going to audible. If they gave him a pass and he got to be the hero, he was taking it. And, you know, they were on the, what, the 2-yard line? It doesn't matter if I want to be the hero or not. If I'm the quarterback in that situation, I'm giving it to Marshawn. Because that's smart football, and ultimately smart football is going to win you another Super Bowl in that situation. Russell Wilson botched it. And there's just been other times where it just felt like he is under the mask, he's a prima donna. And, you know, the fact that he's a chameleon and always has to blend in and seem like a guy that doesn't have a lot of character or doesn't ever do anything wrong, or he's almost too perfect, I guess you can say. Going back to the chameleon thing, that's scary, because I don't know who you really are under the mask. But now we're kind of getting an idea. He feels he's bigger than Seattle. And he wants to go to New York, where he can be the face of Broadway, or Broadway, the Big Apple, NYC, whatever you want to call it. I almost said Hollywood. You know what I mean, though. The next topic. Frank Clark is on the trade block, but it's hard to believe that Seattle will be better without him. Sticking with the Seahawks, the Seattle Seahawks are listening to trade offers for defense and Frank Clark. It's going to take a lot to replace Pete Carroll's top pass rusher. Clark was outstanding in 2018, recording 13 sacks, and that's so much production to lose. Obviously, some team wants to acquire Clark. They'll have to give up a significant amount in return to pull this deal off. You know, general manager John Snyder and Carroll are no fools, though, and they know not to accept a lowball offer for such a key piece to their defense. It almost feels like something will happen quickly, especially if the Seahawks want to get some picks that can be used in the 2019 NFL draft. Otherwise, the deal doesn't make sense, because adding picks for the 2020 draft would take Seattle out of the hunt for this upcoming season. Of course, there is the possibility that Seattle could acquire a couple of players for Clark. However, it'll have to be some guys who fit their system and who can be molded as Carroll sees fit. To make matters even more interesting, Russell Wilson might be moving on from the squad as well. Clearly, that will complicate things quite a bit, but you can never count out the Seahawks. Outside of the New England Patriots, not many teams find a way to stay relevant like Seattle always does. This front office can easily turn Clark and Wilson into 3 first-round picks and then retool for their next run, which could turn into Dwayne Haskins, Clelin Ferrell, and Noah Fant. Would this franchise be better off with those young players? It's hard to say, but it would help them turn the page on the old era and give them a brand new nucleus to build around. So Frank Clark gets franchise tagged, didn't seem too happy about it. I think he said he really didn't want to play on the franchise tag. And now we're hearing that he could be on the trade block and the Seahawks could be shopping Frank Clark. You know, he had 13 sacks last year. And for you to just think a guy with 13 sacks is expendable and he can be traded away is a little bit crazy. But then again, Pete Carroll did make Frank Clark into what he is now, and he could probably draft someone in the draft and turn him into the next Frank Clark. But with that being said, before we even talk about Frank Clark being dealt, or I guess if Frank Clark were to be dealt, what would the Seattle Seahawks get in return? You know, if they can get a first-round pick, a third-round pick this year, and maybe a second-round pick next year, then maybe that deal's worth it. If they can get two players that could help Seattle that are young, then maybe that deal's worth it. If they can get two players and a pick or whatever they do, a player and a pick, player and a couple picks, whatever, there might be a deal out there that makes it okay to get rid of Frank Clark. You know, and if they get rid of Wilson and they get two first round picks for Wilson, and then they get rid of Clark and they get a first round pick for Clark, and they have three first round picks, including their pick in the draft, and they use those three first round picks they acquired to get Dwayne Haskins, Clelin Ferrell, and Noah Fant, or Dwayne Haskins, Montez Sweat, Noah Fant, or whatever combination of players they see fit. You know, I don't know if they'll be better right away, but it could give them a chance to go even further than they have in the past. Maybe they go Drew Lock, Devin Bush, and someone else. I don't know. I don't. Maybe they wouldn't go Devin Bush just because they got linebackers, Bobby Wagner. They re-signed I think they got Michael Kendricks back, even though he's got those legal issues with, what was it, insider trading or something like that. There are other linebackers they just got back, too. He's pretty good. K.J. Wright. So I don't think they would take Devin Bush, but, you know, Drew Lock, Clelin Ferrell, Noah Fant, or Dwayne Haskins, Clelin Ferrell, Noah Fant, or maybe they get an early pick and they get Josh Allen to replace Frank Clark. Suddenly, you know, even though it doesn't feel like they're going to be better off with Frank Clark, maybe if they can pull something off, and, you know, I'd say there's a little bit more, a little bit worse odds to pull it off without Frank Clark. Just because when you get into drafted players, you're getting into unknown commodities and you don't know how they're going to translate over to the professional level. We've seen guys that we thought were Sherlock's end up being busts. And, but, you know, they have all these other young guys and they traded back in the draft a few times, a few different years, and they got a lot of second and third round picks, and they built, a team with a bunch of young guys while getting rid of, like I said, Sherman, Bennett, Jimmy Graham, all those other guys they let walk. Marshawn Lynch walked a couple of years before that. They kind of turned things over, to this young team last year. They probably should have won five games last year. They go to the playoffs. They could, you never know with this team. They could always defy expectations, even with Wilson and Clark gone. You know, if Haskins came in or Drew Lock came in and lit it up, and then Sweat or Farrell or Allen were going hard off the edge, or Bosa, whoever they got, and Noah Fant stretching the field as a vertical tight end, maybe they go back to the playoffs. Maybe they go even deeper. You never know. You can never count Pete Carroll out. The guy's a winner and a great football coach. But that's all I have today. Thank you guys for listening. Check out endzoneblog.com for all your latest NFL news and updates. We always have content uploading to the page. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm signing off. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, too. Take care.